Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Let Exclusive Furniture spring clean your sleep with an ultimate sleep reset package. Springtime is the best time to refresh your sleep. Save up to $800 on a sleep reset package, complete with mattress, mattress protector, pillows, sheets, and an adjustable base for maximum comfort. Plus, 60 months no interest financing, and we'll haul away your old mattress and recycle it for free. Upgrade, refresh, and save.
This is Exclusive Furniture, where low prices live.
And better sleep begins.
Every day.
See store for details.
Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today I have with me Jennifer Way and Jessica Brodkin. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Pleasure to be
two
here.
Very close sorceresses of mine, as I would describe you both. It already feels like a coven when we do a three-way Zoom. I feel like the magic's already here.
Yeah, I need some magic. That would be great.
Oh, yeah. Love weird it. Energies, intense energies. I am very clogged at the moment. So I've taken some medicine like Tylenol, pseudoephedrine to try to work with it. But it's always that balance of I want to be as natural as possible. But if the suffering gets too bad, I allow myself the Tylenol or the Excedrin, whatever I need. But I'm always in that space. I'm sure you can relate to of like, how can I relieve the pain without completely leaving my body? So that's where I've been the last 3 days, trying to sleep like with like a like closed nasal passages. Fun times. But I'm always using it as a way to evolve and figure out what I need to listen to, which is the first topic when the universe puts you in a headlock. I have found that if I'm in a direction or going in a direction that is not in my highest interest, the universe has a tendency to put me in a headlock and kind of freeze me so I can resort, meditate, and figure out what direction I want to head in. And I would love your thoughts on it.
Yeah. Jess? Jessica?
I'm like, who goes first? When I think one thing is, I don't know if headlock is the, maybe by headlock, do you mean like get stuck in a pattern? Or does headlock mean that you can't move forward in your life?
That's a great question.
So that's my question on what you mean by universe keeps you in a headlock. Like, what does that mean? Because for me, I have, and I think for a lot of people, we have repeating patterns and that are like loops. So maybe
I would say both. I would say sometimes it's been a repeating pattern, but sure. I was thinking more of when the universe like fucks you up, like with my foot injury.
Yeah.
You know, or just being in a situation where the external world says no, like you've hit your limit. And I feel like I hit it physically with my health at times, and that's a big way of letting me know I've pushed it. But I have found even like car crashes in my past. Luckily, I haven't been in one in years, but there was a pattern of even car crashes, which I found were an awakening tool, a big time one. So that's how I had
the car crashes too in my 20s. Granted, that's when I learned how to drive. So maybe that was also my fault, but I had a lot until I became a good driver. It just took some time, you know, and then now I love driving.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. He said that like an ASMR dirty person.
I love that. Yeah, you do. Like, I love that you love driving.
Yeah,
I'm like,
do.
Take me wherever. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. I like what you said about like an awakening tool, because I feel like it's for me at least, it's always more of an awakening tool. And I don't know if that's because I blame myself for every single thing that happens, which is another lesson that I need to kind of learn. But I think for me, especially recently, it's been a lot of like recurring loops, and it takes a sec for me to really see what's going on and my tendencies. So it's like, I guess the challenge for me is also like being grateful to the universe for showing me the reflection of my own shit, and trying not to sink too far down. Yeah, but it sucks.
I think you're right about, so let's go with your definition of headlock, and that meaning like health issues or something where you're stuck and you can't move. Because I think that when that keeps happening, then the question is, what do I need to learn here? Mm-hmm. Or what am I? And I think that a lot of people use the term universe as another word of God instead of, because God doesn't feel comfortable for most people, for a lot of people. So they say universe instead. I have a different, you know, what is the universe trying to show me? And then I think of things differently now. And I think of it as in terms of, what does my higher self want to show me? What does the simulation want to show me? What does my intuition want to show me? Because I don't think that we're necessarily separate from the universe as some sort of like different entity. Like, it's our own sort of projection of the experience of our lives, and also the collective hallucination that we have of being on Earth in terms of what we're collectively experiencing. Yeah. How have you used it to awaken yourself, I guess, is my question too. I don't know if it's appropriate.
Yeah. And I love how you explain it. That's beautiful. I'm still in the learning process of listening to my body, listening to my intuition, because sometimes the pace that the world's at of like, keep going till you break, basically, it doesn't work for me. I've broken, you know? So now it's learning how to, you know, go and work and do things, whether it's substitute teaching, comedy, etc. But at my own pace. And if I'm feeling sick, resting and not forcing it. Because when I force it, it can get crazy and embarrassing. Like, I don't want to go to school and sub and literally puke in front of the children. You know what I mean? Like,
why not, Kate? That sounds amazing.
I'm confident, but not that confident to just like puke in a bucket full of teens watching me and then be like, you know.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, pukes like.
Pukes like teen spirit, you know?
Yeah, exactly. They might be like, yeah. And I'm like, thanks, guys.
They probably think you were wasted the night before. It's like a hangover.
Exactly. And it's like, I went to bed last night at 5 p.m., which is me listening to my body. I've been trying to sub a lot to make money, to pay bills. Obviously, I would love for comedy to do that, but comedy hours are very hard for me these days. Like, late 8 p.m. shows, which aren't even late shows in the comedy world. They have like 10 p.m. and a horror midnight show. I don't even know what I would do. Yeah, like, I can't stay up till then. So anyway, yeah, for me, it's listening to my body and having faith that listening to my own rhythms will help me find abundance, not reverse or opposite. Because that's the fear, is like, if I don't push through my sensitivity, and I'm not going to be able to make my dreams come true, you know, from the purely expressive place. So I'm just trying to figure it out, but still go to work and sub when I can. I love those hours. I don't love waking up super early, but I'm more naturally in those hours. I wake up with the sun. So I'm trying to figure it out, but certainly when I don't listen, my body breaks. It breaks really hard. With the Lyme disease, my foot issue stuff going on, which is osteoarthritis. Sounds very sexy.
Oh my God.
You know?
Yeah.
Making it work as best I can. Me and the cane. If I have to have the cane forever, I'm definitely going to get one that looks like a staff. And it's going to be sexy. And I'm going to own it and make it the most, you know, ferocious staff cane there ever was. But
I think you need like a big hat with that as well. Like a big...
Is she going to be a pimp hat? Like a
yeah. Yeah. I was going to say that, but
I'm not
like,
going so much like pimp sorceress, just more like wizard sorceress.
Oh, you want,
although
like,
I'm not against
hat?
A good hat.
You want a pointy hat?
I'm not sure if I want the. I mean, I'm not against a point if it looks hot. I'm ready to rock with all sorts of hats. I can't wear them too long. My head gets overheated. Another sensitivity issue, but
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
You
I
know,
can wear a little bit.
you could do a fascinator.
What's that?
Oh, yeah.
Like a clip-on, like half hat, like the
Ooh.
British royalty where you're laughing at
Yeah.
the fascinator.
Ooh,
Like
my
with a
hat era is
partial veil.
coming.
Or
Huh?
just a
What?
crown, or like a flower wreath, like a flower wreath.
That's a very different vibe than a pimp hat.
It's very much a different vibe. I feel
I
like if
like
there maybe
all of
there's a
them.
happy medium.
I think that we should honor the dark sorceress that is Kate Wolf, or the
I'm not
dark
all
French
dark.
pirate. No, I know, but there's some, like,
My inner Morticia.
I think we need a Morticia type of look to go with a cane. Morticia would wear a cane and make it look hot.
Oh, she can make anything look hot,
Yeah.
Morticia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think Morticia.
But I'm Morticia meets an elf. So I gotta figure out my, you know what I mean? But I love, Jess knows, I love me a good dark sorceress. Just like the Wednesday Addams stuff, Morticia, the whole Addams Family vibes, I do love. And I do love vampire vibes, Twilight Forever, okay? But even Bella wasn't very dark in her vampiredom.
No, she wasn't.
Sparkly, sparkly vampire.
Yeah.
So I want to bring up this next topic, if it's okay with Jennifer, but it's about Big Bird.
Oh, of course. I was expecting we would talk about Big Bird.
Okay, I should have
No,
asked beforehand,
it's okay.
just because, you know, it arose in a sacred space, but
That's
we
okay.
both realized Big Bird energy is kind of like Archangel energy. And I would love to know, Jessica, how you feel about it and if you were a Sesame Street watcher.
Oh, so hardcore. I want to bring some, oh, are you kidding?
Oh, yeah.
Hardcore Sesame Street, yes.
So into Sesame Street.
Wait, you just sent me, just sent me a
Oh, okay.
TikTok on with Cookie Monster.
Really?
Yeah,
Cookie
Cookie
Monster doing
Monster.
inner child work on himself.
So, who was your favorite, or who were your favorite characters, Jessica, growing up?
Oh, me? Are we doing the whole Jim Henson family, or are we just
Sure.
doing Sesame Street?
I want to hear who you really liked.
Oh my God. A kid, I loved Gonzo. That's who
Oh,
was my, and I
yes.
think he was just like a giant weirdo. As an adult, I like Animal.
Animal's awesome.
Animal on the drums and is really amazing. I love the whole Henson system.
Me
And
too.
this is embarrassing, but I went to a clown convention, I think about 10 years ago, 11 years ago in Richmond, Virginia, and they had a lot of Shriner clowns. Do you know the Shriners? They're like part of the Freemasons or something, but they're clowns, I think, in the Freemasons who go to children's hospitals and like do clowning for children.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And I took a puppet class there, and I've been thinking about getting back into puppets. But yeah, I think puppets are magic.
I agree
Yeah.
100%. I really loved Kermit. I'm going to see if I can do the Kermit
Oh
song real
yeah.
quick. Let's say, why are there so many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side?
You did very good. Very good.
Thank
Bravo.
you. Thank you. I was a little
Woo!
nervous, so I don't know, you
You did
know.
great. You did
And then I
great.
used to do Elmo for Shane, where I'd go, la, 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 la,
Yeah,
and I'd go,
Elmo.
party all night long. You know, I had party Elmo. That's who Shane hang out with. But I love them. And then Jennifer, I would love for you to kind of share how Big Bird came up just in us recognizing and honoring the energy and the morality he put out there. And it's an energy system, a real archetype.
So Kate gave me a healing. Go to
Great.
Kate for healings, everybody. And Jessica too. And me as well. Why not? But so we did a healing, and she got a she basically Big Bird dropped in when she was in my field, and I was I was like, I haven't thought about Big Bird in a really long time. And then it started kind of flooding in. Like my guide started kind of talking about it, how it was really a symbol for me of protection in a way. Like Big Bird felt safe. And I thought about the colors really appealed to me as a kid. Like I remembered instantly like the pink legs with the orange rings, his face, even like the blue and the pink in the eyes. And obviously the yellow just being such a strong solar plexus kind of a symbol. And my guides were just like, yeah, there was not that he was an archangel, but that there was a sort of channeling going on of archangel type energy, like a protective energy, because it's like if you're a little kid and Big Bird is just like this big, sweet being, you know, he could kick someone's ass because he was so big that like he would protect you. And it was just it was just joy, like a springy, sunny joy. And I had really forgotten about that in my adulthood. And I guess I just forgot. It was just a really wonderful way to connect back into my experience as a little kid and being introduced to something like Big Bird. So, yeah.
And it's also, we were discussing how energy really does come through when you're watching TV, you're watching
That's
the
right.
characters. I feel like I could take on not just the character's energy, but the actor playing that character. I feel like
That's
we're all
right.
very sensitive, and watching Sesame Street back then felt so pure, you know? And yeah, there's something that I think you were saying, Jessica, about getting back into it. Like, it's always been a dream because there's so much art behind it, you know? Like all of the Muppets, all of them, you know, there's so much. Did you guys ever go to Disney World and see the live Muppet theater
I don't think so.
thing?
No,
Oh,
me
when I remember
neither.
being a kid and seeing it in person, and they felt alive. It was just one of the
Oh,
best
God.
theater experiences I'd ever seen, you know, with Muppets.
Theater.
Yeah, it was
That's
to
the way to see
me.
it.
Yeah, and then I think
Yeah.
what was it, Avenue Q?
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
You know,
so
I was gonna say,
yes.
one of the things about that sort of like the energies kind of coming through the screen, I feel like Sesame Street at the time, in you know, kind of comparing it to all the other TV programming that was out there, it was the one thing that felt like it was actually speaking to me and that it cared about me. That's the feeling that I got from Sesame Street. It was like, they are speaking directly to me. They really care about my growth and my upbringing. And I felt, especially being like a baby or a kid of like the 70s and the 80s, you didn't quite get that from the adults around you necessarily. So it was kind of like, it was nice to have this thing for myself. Like I felt seen when I was watching that. And that's why I get frustrated with people who work in media, in popular media, who don't take it responsibly, who don't sort of program responsibly, because there's such an impact when you're seeing images and sound like that, especially when we have so much violence on TV. It's like we could really show anything else. Like, why do we have to focus on that? Why is there so much of that out there? Like, why is it so common that like my 14-year-old kid knows what it looks like when a body gets like split apart? Because he sees it all the time. He's been seeing it for so long.
I mean, my answer to that, my corollary to that is that because people used to go to war all the time. And so that is, especially when they're 14 or 17, male testosterone peaks between, what is it, 17 to 24. So historically, a lot of, in civilizations, a lot of men would be sent out during their peak testosterone and rape and pillage, literally, the other towns, the other civilizations, the other. And then they would come back after a few years.
I get that, but at the same
I mean, I'm
time,
not
it's
saying
like,
it's good. I'm just
no,
saying
I
there's
know,
an
I know.
evolutionary biology reason why I think that there's violence, or why there's so many violent video games is I mean, I believe that all human behavior, even when it's terrible, is adaptive. But
That makes sense.
that's sort of like my evolutionary theory lens of human behavior.
And it is a reflection of humanity. So I just wish
Yeah,
it was
we're pretty
more, I
violent.
just wish it was more conscious, especially at this point. It's like, well, we're aware that that's not really working. And maybe there's a better way to use our violent inclinations or our aggression.
I mean,
I'm very idealist.
No. It's not idealist. You have the opportunity to build that.
Yeah.
You know, you have the education and I think the skill set to build that.
Yeah.
And, right. And one of the things that's happening is that there's a fall of, or people are talking about the fall of traditional media, that it actually allows for more space for that sort of conscious creation from the ground up.
Yeah.
And that's part of what you're doing, I think, with your personal podcast and with Kate's podcast. Yeah. So
thank you, Jessica.
So, yeah, I mean, those are just, yeah, we have the opportunity to do that. And I think that you have the opportunity to do that. And we can't even theoretically, even though, you know, there are a lot of mixed reviews about AI, we can theoretically use AI to create more conscious stories in a low cost way. Agreed. I mean, it's maybe low cost production wise, it's high cost for the environment. You know, it's a whole conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
I believe in all of us. I think we are speaking a unique way because we're all listening to our intuition, and media at this moment does not feel pure and clean in every area. So, you know, we're trying to enter the space from a very conscious, pure way. We have integrity. So I think the three of us are definitely creating the space out there. Who knows? Maybe Jessica will have a puppet show that we get to be a part of, and her own, you know, like we could create 10 different things. You know, it's, there are just so many different possibilities because we're creative people. And I know there are a ton out there who have yet to be seen as well because they couldn't really fit the vibration of the current existing media. So, you know, I'm excited to see what we keep creating. And the next topic is how dancing is healing. And you two are going to be going to the Get Down, a conscious dance party in Manhattan and Brooklyn. They change venues here and there. It changed my life when I went years ago, really? When I was living in the area. I loved dancing when I was little. I still loved it, but I felt very self-conscious doing it publicly. I didn't like to go out at night because I felt like random dudes would push their boners up against you when you're trying to dance.
I mean, yeah, that was a thing back in the day.
Yeah. So
now they're on their phones.
I had a friend who was a big part of it, and she brought me, and I loved it. I went to a bunch of them, and it really helped me loosen up, move my body again, feel good about dancing publicly. The space is really about feeling free, and they set intentions. They do meditations. I think it's awesome. So I'm excited you two are going. Maybe once I heal my foot, or once I get a really fancy, cool staff cane. I'll come up and do moves with you guys if you like it. But yeah, I just wanted to talk about how healing dancing is in the first place and learning to move your body and go with the rhythms of life. And how so many adults lose that. We get so in our heads and self-conscious that we lose the dance.
I would, Jess, I want you to take this only because, like, as I was telling you last night, I haven't gone dancing in like 20 years. And I'm extremely self-conscious about dancing in front of other people.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You're like, the both of us going to this thing on Thursday is just really important for me. Cause like, I know you go out dancing and that's something that you do like regularly, or at least compared to me.
I mean, when I was younger, I would dance like 4 or 5 times a week. So that dance used to be a huge part of my life before I started comedy. And I was very serious about it. So I feel like I'm, even though you're like, hey, you dance more than I do, I'm like, oh, I dance like such a small fraction compared to what I used to do. That I feel like I'm returning back. But yeah, dance is like sacred, I think, right? Dance is a way that we all connect. Dance is a way that we connect with our bodies, and dance is a way that also trauma gets released from our bodies. Mm-hmm. That's actually, I think, the original reason for twerking was actually to release trauma from the body. Belly dancing also was not, men weren't supposed to see it at all. It was just in groups of women. And it was about women connecting to their own bodies and moving it and releasing. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I took a belly dancing class like a year ago, and I loved it, but I think I get tripped up in it being totally correct, and I don't allow enough space for me to, because I danced in high school, like on dance teams and stuff like that, and I was very conscious of like specific dance moves because it was like the 90s, and I was very much like, I'm going to get the Running Man 100% perfect and like correct. And I did. And I was like really proud of it. Or like, yeah, like all the dance moves in the early 90s, I was like, yeah, I'm really good at this and I can do this. And then I moved to France. And when I was in France, everyone danced all the time. But coming from kind of where I was coming from, like I grew up in Long Island and there were like really good dancers there. And it's very hip hop and like, but in France, people were like not coordinated, but they danced anyway. And I was like, good for them. Like it made me feel more in touch with not caring what other people were thinking, because I was like, clearly they don't have rhythm. Sorry, anyone who's French. But it's like they didn't really necessarily, in my opinion, have like a natural dance rhythm. And I sort of put myself above them in a way, but then I saw that it didn't matter because they were dancing and they were enjoying themselves and they were having fun. So that helped like loosen me up and my own sort of expectation of like what dance should be. But and I dance a lot on my own, like you know, like privately and stuff. And yeah, and I know dance is just really important. I remember getting just having kind of a vision of dance, and my guidance system was very much like, yoga is good for the masculine. And again, I don't know that that's like across the board. At least this was the message for me. So it's probably good for my inner masculine, and that dance is more for the feminine, you know, and that the act of sort of winding the hips really releases the energy in the sacral. And I could see like a light kind of going around. It almost looked like neon lights that were like lighting up the bulbs around the spine, moving up. And I was like, oh, that's Kundalini energy. And it made sense. And so it's like through the dance class and sort of doing it on my own, like I know the importance of it. And I know I have to get out of my head and like into my body. So I'm looking forward to it for like the somatic exercise that it can be. But I'll be nervous. Like it's going to take a sec.
It's a really fun open space. I think for me, I'm looking for the experience of transcendence. And yeah. I think the get down is also going to be an experience of, you know, coming together. So you have this communal experience you have, right?
Yeah.
Just unbridled.
The community. The community I found was so accepting, so fun about being expressive and yeah, coming together with a similar mindset in a certain way. And I think you're both going to really love it, and I'm going to want to hear the details, but now I'll get to the next topic. Yeah. Okay. This is random, as most of my topics are. Two men robbed a convenience store holding two pythons. Have you ever...
Wait, just like around guns. The neck.
They had like their pet pythons.
Like Britney Spears coiled. Around
no,
the
No, they
neck.
Were like coiled. And they came up and they were like, give us what you got. And like they had like a snake like ready to go. I saw the video. I'd never seen or heard anything like that. And I don't really know how to feel about it. Obviously, you shouldn't rob anyone with any kind of weapon. But I was like, is that better than a gun? Maybe.
You know, my first thought is like a python just strangles you, and like a rattlesnake bites you. Like, wouldn't it make more sense to have a snake that actually bites you? And anyway, that's my
only... Maybe it's like just the fear factor. Like they don't even really expect their python to like jump and strangle, but it's like
so ridiculous.
Can you imagine being in 7-Eleven and somebody rolls up with two snakes? Like I would never stop talking about that. I would be 80 years old and being like, hey, this one time at work, I was working minimum wage and this motherfucker shows up with snakes. I would never get over it. I would get snake tattoos. I would just be like, I am one with a snake. What does the snake symbolize? You know, am I the snake? Is the snake me? What is happening here? I would just like, you know, I would really, I'd really, but that shows my brain. I would do a deep dive in that snake whole experience.
I think you're right. It's so symbolic. You would have to take it in.
Sounds like a movie. Do you know what I mean? Like in The White Lotus, we just had, you know, the, you know, snakes right. and snake bites. Like I would never get over it.
Like the symbolism of it.
The symbolism of the snake. I'm like, what the so what the fuck is happening in
did
this?
Did you both watch White Lotus?
I did.
I loved it. I loved it. Parker actually, Posey. I loved
yesterday started watching it again. I'm like, let me just really? Watch it all at once. Yeah. Love Parker Posey. Yeah.
I thought she killed that part. And Jason Isaacs.
Oh,
I knew him as Lucius Malfoy. Yeah. Oh, clowning out all the time. Poor guy. The incest scene I could have done without, but I felt like the handling of it afterwards in the show was humorous, but the part itself, I was like, no.
I think it was important. He was trying to turn his brother into a predator, and then he became his brother's victim.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's like, it's very, I think it's very Shakespearean.
I thought this was the best season.
I'm not
an incest person.
I'm not pro incest, but I think there's symbolism in the incest scene of White Lotus.
I feel it. I can hear it. Yep.
Sorry. Jen?
Yeah. Oh, no. I was just going to say, I feel like this, I was thinking about it yesterday. I feel like this was the best season.
Yeah.
I thought the three. So. I mean, I liked both of them. I liked the one and two, but I felt like this was the best season.
How do you feel about Rick and Chelsea dying?
I mean, I knew they were going to die. And I think I knew they were going to die because I knew she was going to die.
I knew she was going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think also I was also kind of on like White Lotus talk. And there were so many people like with theories and, oh my God, did you see her necklace that says stay gold? Like, of course she's going to die. Things happen in threes. And spoiler alert, everybody.
And I felt like, yeah, the relationship was pretty toxic, you know, 100%. Just him leaving her there to go to Bangkok to like shake up the guy he thought killed his dad, but it was his dad. But it's like he obviously could not escape his trauma. It was still owning him. And she was begging him, like, just stay, let it go. I'm here now. And he wasn't there for her.
Yeah, his trauma killed her.
Yes,
basically. Yes.
But at the same time, like, she chose him, and I feel like I've been Chelsea. I've been that girl, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of us have been that girl, and I think she was – I love – her love of astrology and mysticism was so on point for how I think women relate to the world in terms of being like, I'm working on myself. I believe in the stars, and I'm going to rescue this emotionally unavailable piece of shit. Do you know what I mean?
100%.
And so I think she is, and her dying is perfect because she died like, you know, she didn't pour into herself. She chased a man while feeling like she was emotionally and morally superior to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and Amy Lou Wood, I believe is her name. She's an amazing actress, and she got upset with SNL. They did. Overall, I guess it was funny because they were doing like the political thing of if the Trumps were in the White Lotus. Mm-hmm. But when it came to her character, they did these like prosthetic teeth that I do think they took it too far in that there was no need to go that far with giving her the teeth and making the statement, oh, have you ever heard of fluoride? You know, I feel like a lot of the rest of it was very clever. But at least they apologized to her because she wrote on her social media that she thought it was mean and unfunny. And I'm glad she said that.
I'm glad she said that too.
Yeah, because a lot of times I think people get their feelings hurt and hold it in. And I'm glad she sweetly said what she felt. And a lot of people saw what she was saying. Yeah. Comedy has to be sacred. Just like your brand. You know, if it gets too mean, you know what I mean? And funny.
Exactly. Yeah. It wasn't funny. It was just like a cheap shot.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, oh, surprise. They took a cheap shot at a woman for how she looks. Oh, my gosh.
At least the actress sent her flowers. So that's nice. Oh. I don't know. I mean, and then Amy Lou Wood posted it saying thank you. So you know, hopefully she feels better. But be nice, people. You can be funny without having daggers.
But also, like, you can, it's great that she, that the real Amy Lou showed grace in terms of how to handle disrespect.
Amen. Yes.
So that was really beautiful and elegantly. I think it's hard to, how to handle disrespect in an elegant way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. When you're triggered.
When you're triggered. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't do that.
I'm working on it. I'm trying. How do you handle disrespect when,
Grace. Hopefully. Grace.
And Amy Lou Wood in real life loves astrology, which is really cool.
But she's like a 30-year-old woman.
Oh, are you saying they all do?
Yeah. Yeah. They. I mean, like, I haven't met, like, I think, you know, I haven't met many 30 women of that age that don't. I think that even if you don't astrology, one has to speak the language of astrology to communicate with women or to have girlfriends.
Oh, and it wasn't like that when I was in my 30s. That's something that shifted.
It's shifted. Yeah, it's shifted. But now I think that we have to
be in that era.
We have to be able to speak it.
Yeah.
And I like that even when you do mention it, people are more open to, like, say, oh, I'm kind of interested. Like, I don't know what that means. Can you tell me? So I like that too.
Instead of calling you a witch.
Yeah. And that's okay too.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. All right. Next topic.
Yeah.
Okay, next topic.
There was an American whose wife was killed in a walking safari tour by a hippo, and they're suing the US tour company. It happened in Zambia, but the tour company that booked it was in the US. So they're suing them because they're like, we expected your services and who you connected us to for it to be safe. So obviously this is a horrific nightmare, but, like, I personally don't really want to do any safaris. I don't want to be near the lions in that way. I don't like zoos either. I do not like animals in enclosed cages, but I personally wouldn't feel safe, despite what everyone was saying, to go on, like, a hippo or lion tour.
Did she stay in the vehicle or did she get out of the vehicle?
I think it was a walking safari tour.
How do you do a walking safari?
That's what I'm saying.
I think the safari is you have to be in an enclosed vehicle. Generally, that's how it's done. Because
even that would make me nervous. This was a walking one.
That's crazy. And
they had guns, but they didn't shoot the hippo, which would have been sad for the hippo, too, because the hippo's just being a hippo. Yeah. You know, they're entering their space. But
I wonder how much she paid to be attacked and killed by a hippo.
It's like the Mount Everest situation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You will not be on a walking safari tour. You will not.
No. I don't think I ever would want to see those kinds of animals in their natural habitat on purpose, like pay for the entertainment like it just strikes me as wrong. It's my personal preference. I mean, I'm not judging other people who would do that. You know, I'd be more interested in doing other stuff in Africa, but, like, I would do it in a jeep.
I mean, also my cousins have done it.
Yeah.
So you just don't get out of the vehicle, you know?
Yeah. That seems very extreme.
I enjoy seeing animals on TikTok or Instagram. That's where, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I feel you. Yeah. All right, next topic.
Okay.
So I saw a friend's suggestion pop up on Facebook, and it was Bette Midler. So I said, you know what? Let me try. I'm going to hit, you know, add friend. Next thing I know is I'm accepted as a friend of Bette Midler. And I think it's the real her for 2 days. Okay. I think I'm the coolest person ever. I'm like, I am Facebook friends with the Bette Midler. Okay. So then I see her post a thing about casting for her movie. And I was like, oh, well, I'm interested in being in her new movie. So I'm like, hey, and the person's like, it would be an honor to have you in my movie. And I'm like, wow, Bette Midler's, like, already honored to have me in her movie. And then it was like, it quickly went into, I would need your bank account info. And my son looked at it and I was like, it says she has 6.2 2 million followers. He's like, no, they wrote it in the bio to make it look like they have that amount of followers. So this person knew what to do.
Yeah,
I still haven't unfriended fake Bette Midler because my heart can't take yet that it wasn't the real Bette Midler, but it's not the real Bette Midler.
It's not the wind beneath your wings.
Yes, exactly. I was singing Bette Midler to all my students in high school. I was like, you don't know Bette Midler? And I was like, you are the wind. I was in Bette Midler land. I thought I was going to be besties with her. Oh my gosh.
And I love that you lived for a few days in this reality of being Bette Midler's bestie.
I love it.
I think Fran Drescher right now is my Bette Midler.
If you became besties with Fran Drescher, I'd be schvelling. Oh, I would not know what to do with myself.
I wouldn't know what to do either. I would implode. I would implode. What a Jewish queen. Did you see how she has a rotation of friends with benefits? Did you see this?
Yes.
No.
I love the nanny. The nanny clips come up on my TikTok and I adore her. Her outfits, her character, her humor. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of your and Fran Drescher's best friendship.
This is my friend, me and Fran Drescher. Yeah. Oh
me God. And Bette are besties.
You can have Bette Midler. Bette Midler's the queen. I'm going to take Fran Drescher and be like, how do you have a rotation of friends with benefits at 67? And beat cancer and had a gay husband.
I love her. I love her evolution.
Her I'm evolution is it. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I think she's on to a next evolution too. I don't think she's done. I love, oh, have you seen Cher? Cher on the SNL 50th, her performance. That. This woman is in her 70s and not only looks amazing, but she moves and sings amazing. She is inspiration. I'm like, oh, you can age in a certain way where you don't lose that spunk. Oh my gosh. I
think she's got a very young boyfriend as well.
Yeah, she does. Yeah.
I think she's has a good team behind her of both plastic surgery and
trainers.
Let's have a good team.
Nutrients,
right?
The best foods
nutrients,
in the world.
Estrogen, whatever she's on.
Supplements, vitamins.
Yeah. I think
I want the Cher diet, I'll tell you that right now.
What a way to live.
Yeah.
She's
okay.
Got good genes, though. She's always been pretty.
She's a smoke
gorgeous.
Show goddess.
Yeah.
Smoke show goddess. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there is a low cost airlines and they're introducing standing seats.
No,
I saw that.
Count me out, right? Standing seat. I guess it's like 2 hours. I can't do it. I'd be a mess.
I think it's a little like, you know. I mean, like, I know in the metro in Paris, they have like the little sort of like slanted seat where you stand.
Right.
Your butt's at like a little bit of an angle. So I think it's a little bit like that. So it's not like all the pressure, but let the young people fly those. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I used to take the Chinatown bus. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Between Boston. They don't have that anymore.
Yeah. Like, I think up to like 35. But over 40, we're not going to be able to do that. Like, my circulation can't handle it. No.
I know. Getting older is a different dance.
It's a different dance.
But you got to accept and listen to your body.
Hell yeah.
All right. Last topic. This is a sad one. Florida proposes new child labor laws, including 14-year-olds can work overnights, even on a school day. Like, I thought we all agreed child labor's not cool. You know, like, unless it's, like, legal if it's a 14-year-old at a pizza shop a couple hours. You know what I mean? Like, some of my students work some hours, which I understand it helps them pay for their own things. But overnights on a school day, what are we doing? I don't know.
It's Florida.
Florida.
Yeah. I know that my 14-year-old son is very eager to work. And I told him that. I was like, you know, in Florida, and he's like, I was like, maybe you can get a job over the summer and stay at Saba's house, as my dad lives down there. So he's like, oh yeah, I could do that. I'm like, okay. But he's anxious to make money for himself because he wants to buy sneakers. So
I think that's great.
Yeah, so do I. I love it.
Yeah, I think that's a great motivation. I don't think the child labor laws are great, but I do think that your kid wanting to work is great.
I feel like if it's an option, maybe that would be great for the kids who want to do it. But I don't think that, I think those laws are there for a reason, you know, because it's just, it's abusive. It can be abusive. It can be just...
I think Florida is what the Wild West now, what the Wild West was. You know, they have gators. They don't pay as many taxes. They don't really educate people. They also have rich people who from South America and Miami. Do you know what I mean? It's just like a wild, wild place.
It really is.
Maybe Florida is a parallel dimension. I do have fun there. Do you know what I mean? But
there's a huge Israeli population in Florida. I don't know. I feel like my family is half of that population, but there's like a lot. They have like bagels. I mean, maybe it's a Jewish thing. Maybe just.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of Jews in Florida. I think that it's funny how many things that we think are our own ideas, but we're really just following migration patterns of our ancestors. Here we are doing Jews doing comedy, going to Florida, living in the New York area. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, we're real original. Do you know what I mean? It's like.
Well, like in the back of my mind, I'm like, I'd love to live in Idaho.
Oh, right. My husband said, should we move to the Midwest? And I've been seeing all these tornadoes popping up on TikTok, tornado talk. And I'm like, I can't live where tornadoes happen regularly. I won't sleep at night. You know, I don't want to do that either.
Right.
I'm kind of happy in the Philadelphia area for now. In terms of upcoming, possibly apocalyptic weather. I think of that.
I feel like
you have to think about it.
Yeah.
I feel like we have to, you know how like they talk about grid work and stuff like that. I feel like we as sort of the sort of magical healer, mystical witches that we are, we have to be in these locations because it's very difficult. I found it very difficult to be psychic here. Not that I can't be psychic, but it's definitely like a boot camp for being psychic because when you go to other areas of the country, like if I go to Colorado, I'm super clear. There's not as much mess on the, you know, in the energy. It's like, oh, I'm way more psychic out there. But it's like here, I kind of like the training grounds for intuition. And I think it's really necessary with all the frantic, dense energy here. So it's like, I love that we have to be in these spaces because I think we're really grounding something in here that's needed. I mean, I'm sure the indigenous population could have done it prior without us being here as immigrants.
They're not here anymore.
They're not here anymore. I mean, their spirits are. I feel a lot of them here in Jersey City.
That's true.
But yeah.
Yeah, I've never been to Colorado, but I would love to go at some point because I can feel, as you speak it, I can feel the air and the quality there. I would love to travel more. You know, I've already told you both, I want to explore paranormal hotspot sites, you know, for aliens and fairies and all of that. So I would really love to see more of the world. But in terms of like the crazy weather, people need to gear up. It's going to keep getting more and more wild. Flooding is going to keep happening. So I'm always thinking about that stuff. But for now, I feel like the outskirts of Philly are pretty good. And I'm not too far from you guys, even though I don't get to see you enough, but we will work on that.
Well, I think both of you need to move to New Jersey or back to New Jersey, even if it's not a permanent base.
I'm not against that. Just, you know, things would have to, the tides must change a certain way for that to be able to happen.
Understandable.
But all right, well, we're going to start to wrap up. Jessica, any places where people can find you, shows, websites, your Instagram, TikTok? I mean,
they can find my Instagram at Jessica Brodkin. I'll be teaching more and more Reiki coming up in the next few months. And my website is Love and Light Services, but everything is pretty much on my Beacons link on Instagram. That's where things are updated.
Okay, great. Jennifer?
Yeah, you can subscribe to my podcast, the Self-Consciousness Podcast. We're doing a new series. I'm doing a new series called New Earthing, where I'm interviewing people who live off grid, people who are, you know, forming like eco communities, because I really feel like that's the wave of the future. And I want personally a blueprint to that. And I want to hear what other people's experiences are like. So that's starting actually as of today. You can find me at jenniferwai.com, W-A-I. And my Instagram is at the Jennifer Wai. And I recently became a Reiki master thanks to Jessica Brodkin. So she's a great, great, great Reiki teacher. So I recommend anyone who's curious about it in the Tri-State area, please, please go to her classes.
Yes. Amen. And I want to say, I agree with the whole community thing. I think with the new earth that those of us are trying to build, it's what we need. With the lack of community hurts. You guys are about to have some community at the Get Down, which I'm missing. I love being around individuals who are ready to transition Earth into a more peaceful, less parasitic way of being, less suffering, just so much of that stuff. So yeah. I love what you're doing with that. And I didn't really know till you said it.
Thank you.
So I think that's cool. And I'm so honored to have you both on the podcast. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you everybody for listening. Bye.
Bye.
A lot of products say they're clean, but what does that mean? Ritual has high standards for what clean means, like their essential prenatal multivitamin, which is heavy metal tested, clean label project certified, and GMO free. It features key mom to baby nutrients like folate, choline, and omega-3. Clean isn't clean enough, especially during pregnancy. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.